My name is Scott McKay, and in this audio program, we're going to be dealing with a topic that I've collectively titled, How to Have Superpowers with Women. Now, you don't hear me talk about what's known as outer game much. There's a very good reason for this, and that reason is because I don't believe it should be prioritized over inner game and true authentic manhood. But usually, especially when you're talking about what the seduction community is producing, it very often is prioritized over those more important things. It's really easy to depend on the song and dance of routines, canned openers, peacocking, and the like, all in the utter absence of any true substance. You know, the stuff that's going to make her attracted to the real you and keep her attracted. Now, that's not to say that outer game isn't important, because it is. It absolutely is. And what we're going to do in this audio program is define exactly the most effective types of outer game and place them in the correct context that's really going to work for you. That context, of course, is the big four. The big four are being a confident man, being a masculine man, being a man of high character, meaning, of course, that you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and you're going to do the right thing even when nobody's looking. And, of course, the ability to inspire confidence in a woman, the ability to make her feel safe and protected. That's what's going to make her really attracted to you. What we're going to talk about here is going to amplify the big four, the kind of outer game that's going to really drive home the fact that you are the kind of man you want to be and the kind of man that's going to attract women. And it's going to do that. It's going to amplify your authentic, genuine manhood rather than serve as a cheap imitation of it. That's the real kicker here. The question you always have to ask yourself is, does your outer game underscore your authentic attractiveness, or is it just an attempt to make up for the lack thereof? Ultimately, you see, you're not trying to impress women with outer game. You're simply amplifying the impression you've already made to enchant and enthrall a woman. You're welcoming a woman who may already be attracted to you into a special, powerful, and delightful corner of your reality that she just didn't know about yet. You're demonstrating the ability to have a handle on a situation in a way she never expected. You're going from good to amazing right before her very eyes. That's what I mean by having superpowers with women. You blow them away in a manner they don't expect. They tell you you're amazing. So at the baseline, let's talk about what's not superpowers. First of all, if you're trying to trick women into liking you, if you're at a bar or a club and you're trying to get a woman to believe that you're something you're not, if you're claiming to be a doctor, if you're claiming that you slept with her last week and she just forgot about it, something like that, anything that's a trickery type of thing, using NLP technology to your advantage to try to manipulate someone, that is not a superpower. Anything that classifies as a Jedi mind trick, anything that really relies on hypnosis to put women in a trance or something like that, I'm not going to term that superpowers. Now, other people may disagree. Some other people may actually believe that's exactly what the superpowers are. But like I said, my view of effective use for outer game is very different than what you're going to find elsewhere in the seduction community. And frankly, I think the authenticity in combination with being a truly amazing man in the ways that I'm about to teach you are what really is going to make a woman stop and take notice and take you from the good to amazing category. You need not force the issue when you are fully confident that your genuine self is enough to carry attraction. From there, all we're talking about here in terms of creating this superpower image in a woman's mind is all legit. You're not faking anything. Why is this important? Well, because it gives you status. It gives you an impression in a woman's mind of having things handled. It gives her an impression that you've got a plan, bringing a sense of sudden adventure and playfulness, inspiring a woman's confidence that you could probably do anything. You've got this whole incredible treasure trove of abilities and knowledge that she just never knew about, and it's seemingly endless. And it's how you handle yourself. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you deal with the knowledge and abilities that you have that's going to convey to a woman that you really do have these superpowers we're talking about. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about magic for a second. Yeah, I'm talking about magic tricks, just like made famous by mystery and the mystery method. You would probably never guess in a million years that I'm going to tell you that it's incredibly useful to have a couple great magic tricks in your repertoire. Why? Because you don't hear me talking like a pickup artist who depends on magic to attract women. I don't depend on magic to attract women. I depend on authenticity and character and the big four to attract women. But if you can create that attraction and layer on top of that the ability to pull a couple rabbits out of the hat, figuratively speaking here and there, it's really going to make a good solid impression on a woman. Let me tell you what I mean. If you're sitting at a table with a woman, okay, and all of a sudden you say, hey, I have something I want to show you, and you do a trick for her that I call the glass through the table trick, you're just going to entertain and you're going to amaze her. Now, the execution of the trick is actually rather simple, so why don't I just share it with you? What you would want to do is you would want to go to a restaurant that has booths and park yourself in a booth. Make sure they have also cloth napkins. What you do is you take a quarter out of your pocket and you put it on the table and say, I'm going to make this quarter disappear. And you pick up one of the water glasses that's empty and you take a cloth napkin and you wrap it around the water glass. So the water glass is completely covered by the napkin. Then what you do is you say, all right, watch this very carefully. You see that quarter? And she'll go, yeah. And then what you do is you take the wrapped glass and you put it over the quarter. And you go, okay, I need a couple magic words here. And you ask her for magic words. She'll probably say abracadabra or hocus pocus. And you go, all right, abracadabra. Or you can actually do the old Bugs Bunny cartoon trick and go abracapocus. And then you kind of wave your hand over it and you lift it up and the quarter's still there. And you go, wow, I just have no idea how in the world this didn't work. I think we ought to try it again. So what you do is you say, okay, this time I want you to come up with a really, really good magic word for me. And then you put the glass over the quarter. And then, of course, you get it wrong or it doesn't work or something like that because you pull it up and you're really frustrated. There's the quarter again. So what you do is you kind of pull the glass back towards yourself and you start thinking about what you're going to do. And of course, like most other magic tricks, the whole point is to divert her attention while you're doing something. So you make eye contact with her, you furrow your eyebrows and you say, wow, you know, that was really supposed to work. I have no idea what to do now. And you start thinking. And while you're telling her that, what you've done is you've kind of drawn the glass back towards yourself. So it's kind of over your lap instead of over the table. And what you do is you kind of close your legs together and you drop the glass into your lap by lessening the grip on the napkin ever so slightly. You want to make sure that the shape of the napkin remains, right? And then you train your hand to hold it like that. And then what you do is go, all right, well, you know what? I think it's time for a change of plans. And she goes, what are you talking about? And what you do is you say, I've got one more try here. And then you take the napkin and you put it over the quarter, right? This time there's no glass in it. And you've got the glass resting on your lap, of course. So what you say to her is, you know, I just don't think this trick's going to work. It's time for plan B. So why don't I do something else? And in one fell swoop, what you do is you reach very, very smoothly into your lap, grab the glass as you continue to move your hand under the table as if you're positioning it for something. Then you look her in the eye and go, watch this, while you take your hand and move it from the side of the napkin very quickly and softly to the top of the napkin and say, why don't I just push the glass through the table like this and act like there's some resistance on the napkin and just go and push it down and then act like you caught it from underneath the table. And of course, the glass is already in your right hand and you produce it. Then you lift the napkin and the quarter's still there. And she goes, how in the world did you do that? And of course, you should never tell her. In fact, it's a great opportunity for banter, like what's in it for me and so forth. Women love when a guy has very real power. They love a guy who can intrigue them and have some mystery about him. That is what I mean by having superpowers. They love a man who has control over the moment, who can enthrall her. They love a man who has physical control to be able to pull off a magic trick like that. It doesn't matter which magic tricks you have. The one I just mentioned to you is a great one, but you can go on the net and learn a few of them here or there, and then you can actually practice them till you're pretty proficient enough to be able to do them in front of a woman when the time is right. And you'll have a very, very good way to go from good to amazing with women. Card tricks also. You can learn several online, like I said. They're super easy. In fact, if you learn card tricks that have the element of turning over the next card and having it be her card, you can always say, hey, look, you know what? I'll bet you the next card that I turn over is yours. And then what you do is you've already thrown a few cards and you've seen her card come up. So with your finger on the next card on the deck, so it looks like you're going to throw it, what you do is you get her agreement and then you reach over to a card that's hers that's already facing up. You turn it over and that's the end of that trick. That's always a great way to banter with a woman and a great way to use this particular superpower. There's a lot of tricks that have that twist. There's another one with five cards, and you take the five cards and stick it into her loosely formed fist, and then you hit the five cards, and the one on the bottom is always her card, and you can manipulate that trick too. All kinds of fun ways to work with cards. And of course, cards are ubiquitous in this society. So knowing how to work with cards, even being able to shuffle cards effectively, you know, have a neat Vegas way to shuffle cards, it's a great skill to have. And I'm going to talk more later about skills that are pretty much ubiquitous in society, yet that nobody really knows how to do well. And those are great ways to have superpowers in front of women. Now, a lot of times you'll hear talk about things like palm reading and astrology along with things like magic tricks. But you know what? I'm not going to recommend those because their authenticity to me is questionable. Now, if you're firmly convinced in the authenticity of astrology or palm reading, then go for it. I'm not going to stop you from it. My favorite thing to do with astrology, incidentally, though, is to find a woman who believes in both the Chinese zodiac and the normal regular zodiac and challenge her how people who were born in September are all alike and then people who are all born in the same year are also all alike. That's always kind of worth a couple of laughs. But I think there's better ways to actually have real superpowers, and that's by focusing on things that you can learn to amaze women with that actually have real, authentic value and that have been scientifically proven, at least to some degree. Sometimes this is rather a fine line. A great example that comes to mind here is the art of Asian face reading versus the art of semiotics. Some people believe that you can read someone's face and find out their personality just because of the structure of their face and how they make facial expressions and so forth and find out a lot of deep things about them. And certainly Asian face reading is going to completely intrigue the heck out of any woman who hears you work one of those readings. But general semiotics is all about learning very minute pieces of body language and what they mean and how people are reacting to certain things. Like an example of that would be when someone looks up and to their weak side, they're lying. That's semiotics versus Asian face reading, which would say, you know, if someone has a forehead that furrows this certain way, that means they're this type of person. A great example that I think has a lot of verisimilitude is handwriting analysis. This is incredibly powerful. You can get a woman to write something like her name or a sentence, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog's back, and then you can do a read on her and tell her all about her personality, and it's amazingly accurate. The master of this is a guy named Bart Baggett, and if you want to learn more about what he does, go to www.deservewhatyouwant.com/Bart, B-A-R-T, and he's got something there that's called the Grapho Deck. Now, Bart's a friend of mine, and he's quite a character. He's actually got this deck of cards that has 51, I think, different ways to read somebody's handwriting. In other words, what does it mean when they cross their T's a little too high or too low? And you can really get the hang of this very quickly with this Grapho deck and use it to your advantage when you're with women. And women love this stuff. So semiotics, magic, handwriting analysis, all those are great ways to create real mystery and intrigue, and it can happen right at the table with women. And you're not being inauthentic in any way. You're being yourself. You're pulling out little skills that you have that take things to a little bit higher level in terms of letting a woman know that you can have control over a situation, that you're a leader, and that you have things handled. Now, any stupid human trick that's not gross or creepy also counts in terms of being able to have superpowers with women, okay? Burping the alphabet or snorting spaghetti through your nose and coughing it out your mouth, for example, don't count. Those would be gross or creepy. But make a list of what it is that you can uniquely do. And it doesn't matter how small or silly they are. And if you need to practice a few of these skills, do it. You'd be shocked at how many really cool things take only an hour or so to learn, and yet are things that practically nobody takes the time to ever learn how to do. By now, you're probably wondering what some examples of these are. I've got some great ones for you. These are a few of them that are from my own personal repertoire of things I know how to do. The first is paddleball. You know, you go to a Toys R Us and you buy that silly ping pong paddle for 59 cents or whatever that has a rubber band with a ball at the end. Have you ever met anybody who really knows how to do one of those? Well, it takes about an hour to learn. What you do is you get a paddle ball, you take the staple out, you shorten the rubber band a little bit, and what you do is you restaple the rubber band closer to the base of the paddle where it starts to meet the handle. That makes it easier to practice, and then you can learn how to do that. And if you can pull out a paddle ball and do it right at the right moment, it's just going to be the funniest thing anybody's ever seen, and nobody else knows how to do it. Catching coins off your elbow, you know, where you make a little stack of coins on your elbow, like nickels, and then whoosh, you catch them all, takes about an hour to learn. Spinning things on your finger. Now, flat things are easier to spin than round things, so start with like a cocktail tray as opposed to a basketball or something. Just start spinning it on your finger until you can find the balance point and just keep practicing. For some people, it'll take an hour. For some people, it'll take some more time of solid practice, but then you have it for the rest of your life and you can just pick up books off the table and start spinning them on your finger and things like that. Kind of twirling pens around your fingers, right? You've seen that trick done before. Another little stupid human trick. And of course, there's a multitude of these. I'm just giving you a few examples from my personal life, but whatever you've got in your back pocket, my point is make good use of it. You don't ever say, hey, look, watch me do a paddle ball. You just wait till the opportunity comes up and you can do it. Stupid little human tricks like this are always fun to bring out when nobody expects it. The proof that you have a good one here is when she asks how you did it or even tries to do it herself, giggling when she can't. And of course, there's infinite opportunities there for banter or even getting physical, right? Guys, don't underestimate the importance of having some of these stupid human tricks around, because there will be opportunities where they come up. And the more of them that you have that you can draw upon, the more amazing you stand to be with women. Anything you've become proficient in over time, even if from your youth. As a matter of fact, especially stuff from your youth. Now, when I was a kid, I was into BMX racing. I can still do some cool tricks on a bicycle, and this tends to surprise women. So if there's a bicycle around, if a kid rides a bicycle, I've dated some women who have, you know, 10, 11-year-old boys, and they have a bicycle, and I'll say, hey, let me see that for a second, and I'll do a couple tricks on it and just casually hand it back to the kid. And of course, the kid will go, wow, and mom will go, that was amazing, just shaking her head, and then I just kind of blow it off. Some guys can still ollie on a skateboard that they learned how to do when they were 12 years old, so if a skateboard comes up, they can still do it. Some guys my age can probably still score 200,000 on a Galaga machine or a Ms. Pac-Man machine. If you're in a pizza place and there's a Galaga machine, play Galaga. Just blow the dust off those skills and get at it. You know, one of the best examples I can think from my entire history was one time when we were on a business trip. Imagine a bunch of engineers and super serious techie guys, and we were in the room all day dealing with whiteboards, flowcharts, PowerPoint slides, and the like. So by the end of a full day of this, we were pretty bored and we wanted to cut loose. So we got some of the women from the sales side who were particularly hot, and we all went dancing. Now, I had a buddy who was very laid back and very cool, and as the music started getting a little louder, they kind of regressed into some 80s music, and some of that kind of funky stuff came on with, you know, the scratching of records and so forth, right? And they had been kind of keeping this little spot in the middle open where everybody was dancing with each other and they would kind of take turns. Well, out of nowhere, my buddy got in the middle and breakdanced. Just started breakdancing. And it came out of nowhere. And never in a million years would we have ever had figured that John knew how to breakdance. And he just went out there and did it, you know, did it perfectly and stylishly. Then he got up, came back over to the table, and then behaved like nothing had ever happened. And I talked to him later. He goes, you know, actually, I was scared to death. I hadn't done that since I was like 14. And he was, of course, like 30 now. And he goes, I had no idea whether I was still going to be able to do it, but I guess it's like riding a bike. Well, needless to say, the women were just completely amazed. Everybody was amazed. The whole company was amazed. And they kept talking about it literally for a year later. Now, see, at this point, I think it's important to note the most important element of any superpower we discuss here. And that's this. You never talk about this stuff ahead of time. Sure, you mentioned some of the cooler major stuff in your online profile that you know how to do, if that's how you're meeting women. But if she has no way of knowing that you've got any of those hidden talents that we've been talking about, keep it quiet. Bragging and approval seeking suck anyway. Make your skills count. The second important note here is that when they do come off, play them off as perfectly natural and matter of fact, like my buddy on the business trip did. Don't ever find yourself looking for approval. Believe me, you're going to get approval if you can be laid back about it. Play it off as no big deal. After all, you've probably got 1,000 more little tricks like that where that one came from, right? So it's no big deal. What do women take away from that? Women take away the fact that, A, you're this guy with tremendous depth. You can come out of nowhere with skills that just show you've got the whole room in the palm of your hand. You've got the situation under control. You've got a solution for just about anything. That inspires confidence and shows you to be a masculine man who's, well, confident, pretty much better than anything I can imagine. Let's talk about musical instruments along these same lines. Unless that musical instrument is a huge part of your life, in other words, you're a concert pianist for a living, make it a surprise. If you play guitar, keep it on a stand in the corner and watch her mention it when she comes over your house. Then, of course, after she's mentioned it, you pick it up, play a song for her, hopefully beautifully, put it back on the corner stand where it was, and then continue cooking dinner or doing whatever you were doing. She'll look at you, shake her head, and go, wow, you're amazing. Who knew? Any kind of instrument works. Piano is great because anytime you see a piano and can make good use of it, it's going to be one of these superpowers. I promise you, especially if nobody knew you could play. Even a saxophone. A saxophone is just a great instrument. If you're old enough to remember when Bill Clinton was running for president, he never really told anybody he could play a saxophone. He just started playing saxophone at the national convention. There's a lot of people that think that little superpower was enough to give the entire viewing audience confidence that he could be president of the United States. Some people think the saxophone helped him win the presidency because he was the underdog. If you can sing, wait until the perfect song comes on the radio and sing along with it perfectly when she's in the car with you. I remember a certain woman who blew my mind with that little trick. I picked her up for a date. A certain song came on the radio and she goes, oh, this is my favorite. And she started singing it exactly like the woman who sang the song. I was twice as attracted to her as soon as that happened. It made me want her double. And it goes double for when a guy does it. If a guy can enthrall a woman like that, she's going to think he's great. Now, before we talked about not bragging about your superpowers, but letting them come up naturally. That's not to be confused with planning ahead of time for natural opportunities to pull rabbits out of the hat. For example, let's go back to knowing how to sing. If you know how to sing, instead of just doing the radio trick that I just told you, take her to a place with karaoke. Not necessarily a karaoke-only place, but a fun place that happens to have it. Unbeknownst to her, and sign up to sing without telling her you did so. Excuse yourself to the men's room or something and actually sign up to do karaoke. Now, if you have a good idea that she wants in on it also, don't hold that back from her. Let her sign up also. But I think you get the drift of what I'm talking about here. Then when you get called up to the stage, she's going to go, wow, that's you. And then you just kind of give her a wry smile. Then you blow her away. Now, preferably, this is with a song that you've downloaded from iTunes ahead of time and that you have down stone cold perfectly. And, this is important, a song that defines your personality. Then, on the second round, follow up that with a song that pretty much is the last song she'd think you'd ever know. Superpowers. Amazing. Depth. Women love this. In my life, when I took a woman to karaoke and she didn't expect me to sing, what I sang was Pride and Joy by Stevie Ray Vaughan, which is a very bluesy song and fits my personality very well. Then on the second round, I came up with Sarah Smile by Hall & Oates, which is the last song anybody would ever expect me to sing, and just nailed it, because this is something that is one of my personal superpowers. The woman was amazed. And of course, you sit down and don't go, was I good? Or didn't you think I was great? You just take a sip of your drink and continue the conversation. Believe me, everything else will take care of itself. In fact, here's another example of how you can have a special skill and kind of set up an evening where you're about guaranteed an opportunity to use it. Learn how to use chopsticks. Most people who usually use forks and knives, especially here in Western culture, do not know how to use chopsticks. Know how to do it. It takes about 10 minutes max. And be able to teach it to someone else. We talked about opportunities to be physical. This one's all but fail-safe. Then memorize the names of sushi in Japanese. For, you know, example, know the difference between taco and a taco, right? Then go out for sushi and be amazing without really trying. Now, as you might have already guessed, of course, knowing how to dance a step or two is also a very good way to help you set up an evening to show off your superpowers in all the right ways. If you know how to salsa or if you know how to Texas two-step and you take her to a place where those things are going to be done, or one or the other of those things is going to be done most likely, then you can say, hey, let's dance, and you take her out there and you know how to do it. And you've never told her this ahead of time. She's going to be amazed. Are you starting to see the difference between bragging and seeking approval and having superpowers? The only real difference is instead of announcing it, you make it happen, right? And instead of playing up how amazing you are, you underplay it. It's a lot more subtle than bragging. It's more like, you know what? It's just another thing. It's no big deal. It's just natural. Now, you don't do anything self-deprecating. You just underplay it. There's a big difference there. You see what I'm talking about? It's not like, well, I'm not really all that good. No, I wasn't so amazing. You don't deny being amazing. You just go on to the next thing as if it was totally natural and, just another thing that just happened. Always have 3 or 4 great jokes you can tell. In fact, if you can string together enough good jokes, if you've learned more than 3 or 4 and have like 10, or know how to work a crowd, which is a great skill to have. Another great setup date is taking her to a comedy club that just so happens to be on open mic night and signing up to her surprise. Great stuff there. But did you know that most people really don't have 2 or 3 jokes that they can tell effectively? Think about it in your own mind. What are they? What are your 2 or 3 jokes or 4 or 5 jokes? And then you can pull them out anytime. Lighten up people who need to be lightened up and always kind of be the person who represents taking people from a state of not really having a whole lot of fun to having more fun than they were having before you helped them get to the next level. Superpowers. Know a tiny bit about anything and everything. Whenever you hear a factoid about something you know nothing about, remember it. That way you'll know something about that subject. That way the likelihood is there that she'll be amazed by your ability to strike up a conversation in whatever it is that interests her. For example, I had the opportunity back in the mid-80s to visit the Soviet Union, and they took us to the Bolshoi Ballet. And of course, I am not into ballet, but the Bolshoi happens to be the most amazing, famous place to see a ballet in the world, so I was into going, right? Whenever you have a chance to do something that's the greatest version of whatever it is in the world, you take it. The lady next to me kind of poked me in the ribs and said in broken English, "You see that lady out there on the stage?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Her name is Maya Plyshetskaya. Don't ever forget that name, because she is the most famous and brilliant Russian ballerina, and she's semi-retired and she hardly ever dances anymore, and this is a surprise. And now you can tell everyone that you've seen Maya Plushetskaya dance. And I never did forget it. And over the years, I've probably met four or five women who were ballerinas, because I love ballerinas. They're just so feminine and they're always built kind of nice. And I always had something to talk to them about, and it always amazed them. It was like a superpower. I don't immediately recall any of those women who were into ballet ever having mentioned that any guy they'd ever known knew anything about how to keep a conversation going with them about what they were passionate about. Now, again, I'm not a ballet guy, right? Ballet tends not to be one of the most masculine things in the world. But when you can talk about it, just to some degree, that is a masculine thing. Do you see the difference there between being able to come up with this superpower versus being a ballet geek? Let me give you a couple more examples. Recently, someone was talking about taking a business trip to Buenos Aires, Argentina. Not a whole lot of people in the United States of America, relatively speaking, have really been to Buenos Aires, Argentina. I happen to be one of the few. So I said, oh, when you go there, make sure you hit Cumaná Restaurant. It's on Rodriguez Peña Avenue in Buenos Aires. It's the best food in the city, and it's just incredibly reasonable. And I said it matter-of-factly, and the person on the other end of the phone went, really? You've been there? I said, yeah, go to Cumaná. It's a great restaurant. Because the person was kind of sort of bragging a little bit that they were going off to Argentina, and I just matter-of-factly threw it out there. You see that effect? Modern art is another example. I took a modern art class in college, right? And I found that I enjoyed it. It was sort of an elective that I was half forced to take, right? But I ended up really enjoying it. And I remember the names of the artists, and I remember the different periods, and I remember the different styles and the artists associated with the styles. So today, I can tell the difference between a Marc Chagall and a Juan Miró painting on site by looking at them, right? If a woman's interested in art, I can pull that out of my back pocket and start talking about it, and it's like a superpower. Wine. If you have knowledge of wine, that is like an immediate superpower to women. And guys, those of you who are listening who are younger, like in your early mid-20s, almost none of your peers have any wine knowledge yet. But women are always interested and intrigued by wine, and if they're not, they wish they were. Know the difference between a Pinot Noir and a Shiraz. Know that a Beaujolais is for dreams. Someone taught me that once and I've never forgot it, and it always enthralls women. Know how to test and approve wines when a waiter uncorks one and brings it to the table. If you want to get a fast track on this, visit www.winelibrarytv.com and learn to love a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk. He is the absolute best I've ever seen at bringing wine knowledge to a place that's accessible to all of us. Know what's in the most popular mixed drinks and be able to recommend one she'd like. Know a little bit about mixology. And you can do this by either buying one of those little booklets that you see sometimes even at the grocery store counter, or getting on the net and just going through a little mixology dictionary real quick. You'll be surprised at how many of them you'll just be able to remember simply by having seen them once or twice. But go through it a couple times and you'll be able to recommend drinks to women like a champ, and you'll never be at a loss for what kind of drink to order for yourself. It's a superpower. Have a massive stash of typically useless info, because it's also great for being a champ at BuzzTime Trivia. That's one of my favorite interactive dates. This is yet another great example of setting up an evening with a woman that makes you look great. So many first kisses came from nights where I was playing BuzzTime Trivia at a table at a sports bar with a woman. I even had a long-term female friend, for lack of a better word, who had a standing date with me on Monday nights to go to Buffalo Wild Wings just to play trivia and drink $2 pints. Man, there's nothing like having Monday sewn up long-term, right? That's the toughest night to fill a week, usually. Quotes and lines. Be able to quote at least one bit of Shakespeare. I know this sounds absolutely insane, but if you can just pull the Shakespeare quote out of the hat, preferably a good 30 seconds worth, you're going to amaze women. It just makes you look immediately smart. I mean, anybody who can quote Shakespeare looks like a genius. And if you can just pull it out of nowhere, you'll look like you have superpowers. But again, make sure it's at the right time. Know what the lyrics to certain songs mean. Know the words to all sorts of stuff, poems, songs. Learn some classical poetry from the 1800s, some Keats, some Kipling, like the poem If, you know, is one of my favorites already. When you're able to quote lines from things like that, you're able to show people that you're very erudite, you're very smart, you have superpowers. This is not to be confused with being wonkish. You never want too much of one thing. I mean, if you're an expert on submarine warfare and you talk about submarine warfare all the time, yeah, you'll look smart, but you're not going to look like you have superpowers. You're going to look like you lack social skill. In fact, that's a general truth when it comes to having superpowers with women. You don't want to focus too much on one thing. There's that all-important element of letting it go after the time to flex the superpower has come and gone. You want to be a jack of all trades, but you don't necessarily have to be a master of none. You see what I'm talking about here? Now, see, the problem is we as guys, we don't like to feel incompetent. So we avoid situations where we don't know exactly what we're doing. Sounds true, doesn't it? I bet you're nodding your head in agreement. Well, don't be that guy. Be as curious as you were when you were a kid. When someone does something that you think's cool, ask the guy how it's done. Don't ever be that guy who doesn't ask directions. Now, see, most of us inherently are those guys who don't ask for directions. And inherently, most of us are lacking superpowers. You know you love to be asked how to do something you're competent at, don't you? Well, the dude you ask will probably oblige also. In fact, he'll probably be thrilled you asked him how to do it. It's just kind of like what David DeAngelo says about finding some guys who are better with women than you are and asking them how they're doing it, hanging out with them and watching it. They're usually pretty flattered that you asked. So yeah, when you find a guy who has a skill you want to learn and you ask him, you'll look less than alpha exactly one time. And then you'll have the skill forever, depending, of course, on how much practice it takes, right? So make a habit of learning those skills when you see those teachable moments come up. Take note of situations that come up commonly in life that nobody knows how to do well, and then learn how to do the skill involved. This is an amazing way to demonstrate superpowers. We talked about chopsticks, and that's a great example. Here's some others. Know the secret to opening stuck pickle jars. That will serve you immensely your entire life. The simple way to do it, don't sit there and struggle. Just take the end of a knife and whack the lid slightly right where the top of the lid meets the side of the lid. Then you'll be able to pull that lid right off. It's a superpower. Other ones, know how to change a tire on your own car. Know where every bit of the jack is because it's probably scattered all over the place. Then Google how to do it on her car also. Find out where all the jack parts are. Therefore, if you're ever in either car, yours or hers, and the tire needs to be changed, you can be the hero. Know basic tricks, as a matter of fact, to getting cars to work better. Yeah, you should know the basic ones like how to find a dipstick and stuff like that, but you should also gather all these esoteric ones, especially about different types of cars, especially the make that she has and the make that you have. I remember years ago I used to drive an old Volvo and I had a problem with the brakes dragging. Then one day I was at lunch with a bunch of guys, including a retired commander from the United States Navy. And he said, oh yeah, Volvo, what you need to do is you need to get in your car, throw it in reverse, kind of speed back in reverse like in a parking lot or somewhere, then slam on the brakes real quick and it'll free those brakes right up. You'll never have the problem again. And I'll be darned if it didn't work. And of course, to me, that guy had superpowers. Yeah. What we're talking about here is attracting women and enthralling women, but you can even be a leader among men if you take this attitude of saving your special skills for when the need arises for them, dropping those skills on whoever needs them, and then just kind of retreating and saying, huh, cool, now on to the next thing. That skill set, that ability to drop superpowers on the general public will help you with your friends. It'll help you in the workplace. Pretty much everywhere in life. Know how to give a good massage. I mean, women love massages. Women love foot massages. Yet hardly any guy learns how to give one. If a woman has stiff muscles, if she's kind of moving her neck back and forth, you can say, hey, let me take care of that for you. What a great opportunity to get physical, yet guys don't ever ask directions. Have a great toast that you can lead anytime. Make sure you have at least one so that when people get drinks, you can always propose a toast and make it great. Learn how to tie and untie different kinds of knots. Yeah, I know that sounds like a Boy Scout or something, but it's amazing how some of those old Boy Scout skills can really help you. Guys, if you were ever into Boy Scouting and you thought it was really lame or your friends thought it was lame at the time, think back on how many of those skills you had that you learned during that time in your life that you're going to be able to use now as superpowers. If you can whistle really loud through your teeth, keep that one in reserve for hailing a cab or something appropriate like that. Little things you know how to do like this that not necessarily anybody else has figured out or a small segment of the population knows how to do, make sure you keep those in reserve. And by all means, part of the trick here is not to forget that you have them. You know, you may look back later and go, wow, you know, I knew how to do that and I completely forgot that I had a solution. Make sure you're kind of in tune with this whole concept of what it's like to have superpowers and the effect that it has on people so that you won't miss any of these opportunities. Similarly, just like you can take situations that come up commonly in life that nobody knows how to do well and do them well, you've also got to account for the opposite scenario also. If there's things in life that most people have pretty much down pat and you don't, you got to make sure you get that fixed. A great example here is learning how to drive a stick shift. If you don't know how to do that and she drives a stick shift and she says, hey, here, why don't you drive the car tonight? You're going to be embarrassed. Learn how to dribble a basketball and shoot. Learn how to hit a round ball with a round bat and learn how to play basic poker. All of those things you're going to need to know how to do at some point if you haven't already and you don't want to be embarrassed when you get there. Learn how to play Uno. Learn how to play Gin Rummy. Learn how to play the basic card games, not just poker. Learn how to shoot pool a little bit. By all means, know how to tie a necktie, like the kind you would wear if you were wearing a suit. Some guys have never had to wear a tie and they don't know how. Suddenly they're faced with it and they have to have a woman tie their tie for them. You shouldn't have to do that. Learn how. If you can tie a bow tie, you know, kind of Dean Martin style, even better. The first time you're ever embarrassed with a woman because you don't have a basic life skill down should be your last. This is the opposite of having superpowers. This is like anti-superpowers. And if you have these situations happen, it's really going to negate your ability to come up with those superpowers later. So you've got to make sure you have the basic set. If you can't get a woman's bra off with one hand, have I got a blog post for you. Go to edumacation.com, edumckayition.com/blog, and look up how to get her bra off single-handedly, and you'll learn all about it. You need to know how to do that. Some of you guys who don't have much experience sexually can get sweaty palms, maybe literally, when it's time for action. But you can learn what you need to know online about how to have superpowers in the bedroom. I'd recommend the book Kissing 101 by Michelle Penny, which you can find at www.deservewhatyouwant.com/kissing. And of course, the great book Revolutionary Sex by Alex Allman, which you can get at www.deservewhatyouwant.com/sex. Some of you guys probably think I'm kidding about this, but you can learn how to perform oral, get women to have squirting orgasms, etc., all by learning online. Believe me, most men don't even bother. Plus, they're selfish. Studying the skills and actually being attentive to the woman instead of just going at it and hitting it and quitting it will pay huge dividends. Guys, some guys have dropped the hammer on 100 chicks or more, and they're still not any good at it. Why? Because they don't take time to ask directions. Right? We talked about that before. Just the simple fact that you're going to be more attentive to the woman's needs, you're going to learn what it takes, is going to automatically make you more likely to have superpowers in the bedroom. Now, of course, perfect practice makes perfect, but you're going to be a lot more competent quickly than you would have been otherwise if you take the time to ask directions and learn what it takes to please a woman before ever being in that compromising position. In fact, let's talk more about being attentive and listening to women in general. Most guys don't, and therefore, most guys miss out on a key way to have superpowers with women. Always keep your ears open and tuck away any silver bullets of info that you hear from her, because you're going to be able to use them later. The more notes you keep about what she likes and what she appreciates, the more you have that you can make good use of later to enthrall and to amaze her. Now, I'm not just talking about the bedroom here. If you hear the first couple times you talk to her that she just loves Thai food, right? And you see her a couple times, and then one time you pick her up and you take her to the best Thai restaurant you've ever tried, she's going to go, "How in the world did you know I love Thai food so much?" And then you can go, "Eh, you know what? I'm just clairvoyant. I know these things automatically. I'm like magic." She'll think you have superpowers. You pass it off, but really, you were just a good listener. Can you see how valuable that is? Women are used to guys not really listening at all or really caring, aren't they? Be the exception. Plan that evening around what she said was her favorite or what her wish is days or weeks ago. She really will think you've read her mind. Know chivalry. For example, know that walking on the outside of the curb is a great way for a man to treat a woman. Know why you're opening the door for her to get in the car. Know why you're giving her your jacket. You're doing these things because it makes her feel more comfortable. It frees her up from having to fuss with the door of the car while gathering her dress. I don't care if she has jeans on. It's still chivalrous to open the door for her. But if you know the origin of and the meaning of these chivalrous actions, it really, really does help. Women tend to kind of have a colder nature than guys do. So a guy should always volunteer his jacket to a woman, anticipating that she's going to feel cooler than he is. And of course, that makes you look cooler, right? In a different sense. Chivalry is something that you shouldn't use to grovel to women, because that's kind of the bad rap that chivalry gets, right? That you're kind of, you know, kissing up to women. You're not kissing up, you're acting like a man. You're respecting her womanhood. You're responding from power to her needs, not kissing up to her from a position of weakness. And that starts looking like a superpower to a woman very quickly. And I'll tell you guys, here's a real clincher. Understanding women. Know that women want safety. Know that they need security. Be attentive to their needs at all time. Treat her as if she's the only woman on earth when you're with her. That's massive. And what it does is it sets the framework for you being able to use all of these other superpowers that we've talked about to your advantage. So let's go over this. Let's break it down. What you're doing is you're starting out with the big four. You're a masculine man. You're a confident man. You're a man of character who does what he says he's going to do, and you do what's right even when nobody else is looking. And you're a man who inspires confidence by making her feel safe. You've created that attraction. You've learned how to ignite femininity like we talk about all the time here at XMY Communications. Then you work all these outer game elements as kind of a layer on top, like the icing on the cake. And what does that do? That takes you from good to amazing with a woman. Being attentive, treating her as if she's the only woman on earth, is incredibly effective with a woman and sets the tone for your ability to just shine with everything we're talking about here. As always, you're looking for that sudden gasp from a woman, followed by that warm glow in her eyes, then that little incredulous shake of the head, followed maybe by a small laugh or giggle, culminating in the magic words, "You're amazing." Well, I hope you've enjoyed this particular audio program. It was a lot of fun to put it together for you. Until I talk at you again, this is Scott McKay for XMY Communications. Be good.